KPCW News Time now, 8:17. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Summit County Council meeting tomorrow and work session starting at 3:30. They'll be meeting at the Sheldon Richens Building. On this phone with me to preview the agenda, I have Community Development Director Pat Putt and Human Resources Director Brian Bellamy. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Leslie.
So let's see, the Rec District Board here, I don't know who wants to address this. Brian, the council, I believe, interviewing four applicants for one position?
That is correct. They have one vacant position on the board.
Okay, and the council plans to name somebody when? Any idea?
I would imagine they'll probably do it tomorrow.
Okay.
After they do their interviews.
Council's also scheduled to appoint an interim Basin Rec Director, Kathy Kahlo. Currently, she serves as the board chair, correct?
That is correct.
So when would she take over? I mean, when's Rena leaving? Has she already left?
Rena is actually leaving on this coming Friday. And Kathy Kahlo was going to come and recommend to the council tomorrow whom they are recommending to be the interim director.
Oh, okay. So that's not Kathy then?
No, ma'am. It is not.
All right. So can you give us that person?
I think they met last night, and I believe it is coming from an internal candidate. But I was not privy. I was not at that meeting last night.
All right. Can you talk about the search process then to replace Rena on a more permanent basis?
You bet. What they did is they have sent out an RFQ, a request for quotes from executive recruiters, which closed last Friday. And their goal is to contract with a recruiter this week to begin that process.
Okay, and what's the timeline on this?
The timeline, if I recollect correctly, they would like someone here in about 3 to 4 months. It's a pretty quick turnaround going through an executive recruiter.
All right, and so is it the board's decision, or it just needs to be formally approved by the council?
The board does recommend to the county council. The board is the administrative control board, recommends to the council as the governing board.
Well, all right. Also, I guess this is an issue later on in the meeting. You'll be looking at council, or the council will be looking at council salaries. Your report seems to look at two scenarios. One, if the baseline for the council pay was $29,000 that they set for themselves back in 2009, or two, if the base pay in 2009 had been the formula of commission salaries divided by five. So what are we working from here?
Well, that's exactly right. Back when the county council first took office, there was a couple scenarios for them, and they opted to take the $29,000 with no benefits. And what the council asked last week is that we look at if they had taken the original, it was about $37,611, if they had taken that, what would the rate of pay be today? And when we have figured that out and add the percentage increases they have been awarded, the council would then be making $42,450.
And how does that compare with other communities in Utah for the same position?
The communities which we talked about a week ago, there's quite a wide range. You look at Salt Lake County, who is currently making $38,000, with the chair making $42,000. They are another council. You look at Uinta County, which has still the commission form of government, and they're paying each commission member $94,660. So it's kind of in the middle of all of these, from low to high, and so it's. It sits within in the frame of what everybody else is looking at.
Yeah, it seems like Salt Lake County, though, is a much bigger community than Summit County, no?
They are, but you also remember, they have a number of municipalities that sit within that county. And one thing we need to remember, too, is Summit County essentially with the Snyderville Basin, does operate the largest, essentially, municipal government in the county here.
Okay. So this the figures you threw out, those are without benefits. I mean, is that the choice, that they either get, you know, a higher pay without benefits or lower pay with benefits?
No, we actually gave it to them both ways. We said, here you are, you know, they took 29,000. They're at, right now the council's at 32,736. And we put the benefits with their, which they are participating in 2016. And so the total cost for the council, including salary and benefits for this year in 2016, is $265,000. Interesting to note, when the commission left office in 2008, their total salary and benefits were at $260,000. So essentially, in 2016, the council was drawing $5,000 more than the commission did in 2008. If they were to move to the $42,000 salary, which they would be at if they'd taken the $37,000 those many years ago, the total would be $328,700 with benefits, with the 2016 benefits added on.
So that does, the 328 does not include benefits.
The 328 does include benefits.
Does. Okay.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Without benefits, it would be $220,000.
Okay, so that's a council decision, huh, to implement their own pay raise?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Do you have a recommendation?
I recommend they set their salary. And they need to do this prior to the election filing deadline or the start date, because the filing fee is a percentage of the salary which the new council will make.
All right. Or they could choose to do nothing, right?
They could choose to do nothing. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But you're not making a recommendation for or against the increases?
No, ma'am. They can choose what they would like to do.
Okay. Brian, I think that's it for you. Thanks for your time. Pat, I wanted to talk to you. The planning staff is proposing a six-month temporary restraining order prohibiting new helicopter landing sites in Snyderville. So why do you need a TZO? Sundance, 10 months away.
Well, what it is, it's not a temporary restraining order. The temporary zoning ordinance is a legislative act that council can take should they elect to do so. What it does is puts in an interim set of regulations and incorporates those into the Snyderville Basin Development Code. Why are we doing this right now? I think it's really an opportunity to kind of step back from the most recent Sundance festival experience that we had with the helicopters and examine, you know, what we have in our code and whether or not that language that exists now is sufficient to address the problem. I think any time that you have a written set of regulations and there's argument as to what it means and what it applies to, that should be a trigger for us to go back and take a look at those regulations and that language. And that's what council wants to have a discussion to do. What this interim piece of legislation would do is really not change what we believe our ordinance says right now. Our position has always been consistent that the way the code is written, helicopter landing sites, whether it's for passenger, transport, or general aviation, is not a permitted use under the code. What we're doing here is putting, I believe, another layer of precision, another layer of clarity in place for 6 months to allow us to have that discussion, because ultimately, you know, the council's the final land use authority in terms of zoning, what uses go where, the regulations associated with them. Council, I believe, just wants to have a chance to examine whether or not there is a problem, whether or not there is an issue that needs to be addressed, if there is, have a public process by which they can look to a final set of regulations to address this. Probably need to point out that this temporary zoning ordinance doesn't affect or regulate emergency medical or police operations or services. Those are permitted now. Obviously, those are unchanged. In terms of agricultural uses, you know, being able to fly or land helicopters for spraying or those sorts of things, or mosquito abatement, that would not be affected. But what this does, what this TZO does, is, like I previously mentioned, I think put a finer grained, a more detailed description in terms of defining what a helicopter landing site is, defining what emergency services consist of, defining what transportation services for passengers includes, what general aviation includes. And this temporary zoning ordinance lasts for 6 months. So as drafted, these regulations would be in place till early September. The council and the planning commission would go through a public process to determine what the final regulations should say, or the option would be just keep the language that's in the code as currently written, but they would have 6 months to make that decision and go through that public process.
So are you making a recommendation that we change the ordinance?
Well, what we're recommending is that council adopt these interim regulations to better clarify how we address these uses and use that for the next 6 months. But in terms of where we go from here, I think we're going to let the public input process through the Planning Commission and ultimately with the council help us determine that. And again, this will allow the opportunity for all affected stakeholders to come in and weigh in on the issue. And that includes emergency medical service providers, neighborhoods that, you know, may be affected by that. Give everybody, you know, an open forum to discuss what the right outcome should be.
So does this new code, does it cover just the Snyderville Basin?
Just the Snyderville Basin. Thanks for asking that. Now, this is not intended to be applied to the Eastern Summit County planning area, just the Snyderville area.
So what if the Sundance choppers wanted to land in Promontory or Browns Canyon then, that they would be allowed to?
They would be subject to the East Side Code.
Which says what?
Right now does not. Well, Promontory is somewhat different. Well, I need to unbundle that. Promontory went through its own specially planned spa, what has its own specific list of allowed or conditional uses. The rest of Eastern Summit County would be subject to whatever's there now, which would be similar to Snyderville's.
Yeah. So what about Wasatch County? I guess we can't do anything there. They're even closer. I mean, if some kind of landing site was put behind, say, like Stock Building Supply.
Yeah, no, that would be subject to their own regulations. I'm told that they have specific regulations dealing with helicopter, general aviation, transport. I just honestly can't speak to those with any degree of precision.
Okay. But again, I mean, in terms of, you know, enacting this TZO, I mean, you must feel like you're going to get some kind of application in the next 6 months. Otherwise, you really wouldn't need to do this, no?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that. I just think that there was a tremendous amount of time and attention spent on this during Sundance. And I think what we're just attempting to do is be responsive to the problem, both from a community perspective, a neighborhood perspective, and those who are involved in the aviation industry. Once again, I think every time you have a situation where there's disagreement in interpretation of codes, and what they mean, it's incumbent on us to go back and see if we can make that better and more predictable. I don't think we want to go back through a Sundance helicopter situation like we did last year. This is about trying to get out in front of it again for next year.
Okay. So what permitted helicopter sites do we have now?
Inside the city limits at the Park City Medical Center, I know there is a permitted helicopter landing facility. There is one at the sheriff's office that I'm aware of. Inside the canyons, there is a grandfathered landing area up at Red Pine. Those are the three that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I just think that there will be a lot more information in the upcoming weeks about when we're going to be scheduling these discussions. Again, this is going to start with the Snyderville Basin Planning Commission. Like any code amendment, we'll go through a public process, the development of some draft language, bringing in the input from some stakeholders. We will take that through a hearing process at the Planning Commission level. Ultimately, they will forward a recommendation for council, and council will have their own public hearing process, and that'll take place between now and early September.
Okay. Hey, Pat, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Leslie.
Summit Community Development Director Pat Putt. News time now, 8:34. 8:35 now. Good morning. Well, as we've reported, the filing window for state and county offices opening on Friday. Candidates now making their intentions known. One of those, we've got Colin DeFord. He's a member of the Snyderville Basin Planning Commission, and a resident of the Snyderville Basin. Says he'll be running as a Republican for seat D, currently held by Claudia McMullen. He joins me now in the studio. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning. Have you been paying attention to this legislature at all? They were up to 11 last night.
Up to what?
They were up to 11. They were
up to 11 o'clock. 11 p.m.
It's crazy.
Busy. Okay, well, tell us about yourself. I mean, we know you as a member of the Planning Commission, but who else are you?
Well, I'm a Snyderville Basin resident. I'm a dad of two elementary-aged girls. This is my fifth year on the Planning Commission. I've held the chair title twice while I've been there. I'm active in the community. I serve on the board at my kids' school and active in Park City Rotary. Love this community, love the lifestyle, just like everybody else, and I'm here for the same reasons most of us are.
All right. So what do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a technical producer in television, so I work on entertainment and sports productions.
Here locally, or are you in and out?
In and out.
Okay. So tell us why you want the job.
Great question. I think that my years on the Planning Commission has really helped me to understand the process of code, the process of understanding the community and the county, and I think it's ready. I'm ready to move to the next step.
Okay. And why do you think you'll make a good council member?
Well, I think that, like I say, I have an understanding of the process. I think that when you look at where we're going in the community, development is inevitable. Growth is inevitable. And on the Planning Commission, I think we started to try to find the tools to help us manage the growth and manage it into a way that can help our community. So I think that as a county counselor, then I can help to implement those tools that we need to help manage growth effectively.
All right. Now, the only Republican council member we've had has been the person that's been kind of on the east side, you know, in this case, like Dave Yore. You've actually signed up as a plan to register as a Republican. Will that make a difference in how things are done here in the Snyderville Basin?
You know, I really don't think that it's a shame that the county council position is a partisan position, because, I mean, I've been on the Planning Commission for 5 years now, and I am one of everybody. And quite frankly, I think a lot of people were surprised that I am a Republican, as I'm pretty middle of the road. I'm a moderate. Several people have come up to me that are Democrats and told me I'll be the first Republican they vote for. So I know I can capture a lot of that on here on the west side.
All right. So what are the big issues you think you'll bring to the campaign?
Well, I think that, you know, the east side is very important. And I honestly don't have a super understanding for everything on the east side, but I do feel their frustration. And I could tell you that how we're growing here in the Snyderville Basin, that will continue to move eastward. And they have very, very limited options for someone to develop any residential uses, whether for a family member or not. And there are a lot of non-conforming property size issues in the valley that I'm committed to help explore real solutions. and I recognize and value private property rights, and I understand that growth has community impacts, and there is an existing development pattern to the east side, and with this, there are valuable solutions to explore. So I really feel that there's a great east side opportunity to help over there as well. But I think most importantly, the job to do on the county council is listen. I think that we don't do quite an effective job listening to community, and it might be that the community doesn't really have a great mechanism to speak to us. So it might be a better opportunity to explore how to solicit feedback from the community. In addition, I think one of the most important things also is to listen to the municipalities on the east side. I don't think we do I think weekly, monthly, we should really listen to the municipalities and understand what their needs are.
All right. And given some of the decisions that you've made as a member of the Planning Commission over the last 5 years, are you going to have to recuse yourself on any council decision if something was appealed or anything like that?
I don't think so. I mean, it'd be case by case, but I certainly don't think that'd be an issue.
All right. One issue I know the council discussed last week and will be discussing again tomorrow is this issue of council salaries. You support increasing that for you?
My understanding is the intent of the council salary raise was to increase the opportunity for more people to be involved. And if that's the intent, then I'd be in for it.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell listeners? We'll have plenty of time to talk to you over the coming months.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. ColinDeFord.com is the website, so go there. I'll update that as we go. You can sign up for a newsletter and keep in touch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Colin DeFord again running plans to run and file for Summit County Council seat D come Friday. News time now, 8:40. KPCW News Time now, 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. We've got 28 degrees here in Old Town Park City. Again, looking for increasing clouds. Pretty gorgeous out there right now. Looking for a high near 40. We've got a 40% chance of some snow showers late tonight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, dropping down to a low of 28. 40% chance of some snow tomorrow. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, a high of 37. And then high pressure rebuilding on Thursday and Friday with mostly sunny skies and highs back into the 50s. Well, it's that time of month again when the PC Mark puts on a free lunchtime learning session in the studio to tell us more about that. I have Dondi Shira-Likes, and on the phone with me, I have this month's guest, Kyle Oram. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Leslie.
Kyle, morning. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Okay. So, Dondi, we'll start with you. You can just give us the details of when and where.
Okay, so thank you, Leslie. So I'm here to invite the community to our free lunchtime learning tomorrow from 12 to 1 p.m. at the PC Mark, and to introduce our guest, Kyle Oram, who is going to be talking tomorrow about why we should make the switch to solar.
Okay, Kyle, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You work for Oric Solar?
Yeah, that's right. I work for Oric Solar. I've been with them for about 3 years in total. I was involved in their early phase. Kind of startup phase as a door-knocking peon in what was a marvelous experiment at the time, just talking to people about something that no one was really doing yet in Utah. But as the industry has developed, definitely caught on, and people are starting to realize that solar's easy to do, that it's very affordable, and with Oric, you know, our program's absolutely guaranteed to have a system that's going to last for the next 25 years.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, is that what panels are guaranteed for now these days, huh? 25 years?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they come with a standard 25-year warranty, most panels. And then with the other essential component of your system would be the inverter product. With what we use, it's the Enphase Energy microinverter, which is a 25-year warranty as well. So the essential components of your system are guaranteed for that length of time, which obviously adds up to a lot of value in power bills that you don't have to pay.
Yeah. They do start to lose their efficiency, though, over time, don't they, the panels themselves?
Mm-hmm, that's correct. There's a small degradation guaranteed to be less than 0.7% per year with our panels. We use an American-made panel, Suniva. It's based out of Georgia and Michigan. So they are guaranteed to be above 80% of their original production by that 25th year.
All right. Now, you say affordable, and I think that's one of the biggest things, though, that kind of prevent people from moving to solar when they have maybe a 10, 12-year return on investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that we're able to help people overcome and make simple, because everyone's used to paying their power bill as a monthly expense, right? The power bill is not going to come to you and ask you to pay your next 25 years of power at once, and that's not what we do either. We have financing programs available to get a payment that is similar to, sometimes even less than your power bill. And then the difference with that payment is you can actually lock that in over 25 years so that it's never going to go up. And so you don't have to worry about the rate increases that go on with Rocky Mountain Power, because through net metering, you're basically producing your own. So all you got to worry about is just making that solar payment just like you would pay your power bill. But again, it's locked in. That's where, you know, savings come over time.
Yeah. So what is, can you give us an idea of the average cost of a average solar system? I mean, I guess the bigger the house, the more panels you need, but.
Right. Yeah. That's a popular question. So I think I can. I mean, ultimately, you're looking at something where, again, if someone has an average, let's say the average power bill I run into in Utah is around 150, I'd say, on average. So they're looking at paying 150 a year for, you know, the rest of their lives. That's going to be going up every year. Dave Eccleston, Rocky Mountain Power spokesperson, said 8 to 10% a year this decade is what he's projecting in a, I believe, 2011 article. Anyway, so, you know, when you look at that, you add that all up, that's tens of thousands of dollars of power, much more than what you're looking at with solar. Your average system, total value, I don't know, probably around $30,000, but net investment, once you receive your tax credits back, you're going to get 30% of that back, plus $2,000 from the state. And then with our program, we also do a year of zero interest, zero payments to allow time for the tax credits to come back, so you apply those to the balance. So you reduce your actual out-of-pocket investment significantly. It's usually coming around 18, I would say. And then again, that's financeable to turn into a monthly payment that's similar to less than your power bill and locked in versus one that's volatile.
All right. How long do these state and federal tax credits incentives last? I mean, is it just through the year?
Yeah.
Or?
So that's been a wonderful thing for our industry. This was going to be the year that those federal tax credits expired, but Congress actually in their last session before the end of 2015 renewed that tax credit to go all the way to 2020, and then to have a reduction scale each year after that, and then to stay at 10% after that. So right now it's 30. It's going to stay 30% till 2020. And the state, I believe, renews every year or something like that, and theirs is $2,000.
Okay. So if people are at all interested, this is really kind of a solar panel 101 course, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to give you everything you need to know to understand what why it's such a great investment, because at the end of the day, you're not even spending your money. You're using money that would otherwise belong to the power company and the IRS, but you get to redirect those funds toward an appreciating asset for your home.
All right. How many sunny days does Utah have on average a year?
So on average, we get a total of 5.26 hours of production. So that's quite a high average. If you look at the country that's doing the most solar right now has actually been Germany, and they're doing that off of significantly less sunlight overall than we get in a state like this. So we're a pretty ideal state. Being a high-altitude desert climate means we get a lot of sunlight, but we don't get those extremes of temperature like down in Arizona, New Mexico, where it's getting into, 110 degrees. That's counterproductive for panel performance.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Okay. Again, you'll be at the MARC tomorrow, noon to 1 p.m. People are welcome to come bring their lunch and find out more about solar.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Dondi.
Yeah, my pleasure.
KPCW News Time now, 8:47. We've got more after this. It's 8:48. Good morning. The Egyptian Theater presents Dirty Rotten Scoundrels by the Ziegfeld Theater Company this weekend and next. On the phone with details, I have Rick Rea. He's the artistic director for the Ziegfeld Theater Company. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
So tell us about the story of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical.
Yeah, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Well, I'm sure many of your listeners have seen the 1980s classic film starring Michael Caine and Steve Martin. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was made into a big Broadway musical just about 10 years ago, and it is about two con men, one a classy, elegant, older gentleman living in Beaumont-sur-Mer, France, and then a young American named Freddie Benson, who comes as a small-time con man who's very crass and inexperienced, and they end up kind of becoming an odd couple of sorts, teaming together to try a big con. And it is a show full of twists and turns and just some of the most funny moments in musical theater.
Okay. So a comedy musical, I mean, good for the whole family?
You know what? This one is definitely a little bit on the naughty side. It's one that I think that the kids could come to if you're okay with the fact that there's a little bit of innuendo, some brief language. So it's definitely nothing that's too extreme, but also not your normal family fare.
Okay. Now, you've been producing this at your theater in Ogden?
In Ogden, yes.
Okay. And then just bringing it down for the Park City crowd.
Yeah, so we get to test it with audiences for 5 weeks. We have an incredible cast, and then we get to remount it and bring our professional production to Park City audiences for the next 2 weekends.
Okay. So who have you got as your lead actors here?
Some of the incredible Utah talent. We have Kevin Ireland, who you might know from, if you've ever been to any of the local movie theaters in the Big O Tire commercials, he's really on those. But Kevin Ireland is playing Lawrence Jameson. Ed Madsen, who is a major star in Salt Lake, you'll see him every year in Salt Lake Acting Company, Saturday's Boyer, playing Freddie Benson. And then the hysterical Heidi Potter Hunt as Christine Colgate.
Okay. And you've actually directed the production then, huh?
Yeah, I directed this production. It's actually, you know, it's the first show I ever directed several years ago, and this is my second time directing it. And it's been so fun to revisit this just wonderful comedy and bring it to life again.
Okay, as I mentioned, it opens this Friday night and runs through Sunday the 20th. So it'll play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week, and then Thursday through Sunday the following week. Tickets start at $29, I think, for the Thursday show. Anything else you'd like to tell us about it?
No, I'd say that this is probably one of the best shows we've produced. Truly just a great piece of comedy and one of the most fun things you can be doing this spring in Park City. As you mentioned, tickets are a little cheaper on that Thursday next week. We open this Friday through Sunday and then next weekend, Thursday through Sunday.
Okay, good. Well, good luck with the production. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Again, tickets, you can get those online at parkcityshows.com. Stop by the box office at 328 Main Street or give them a call at 435-649-9371. Again, for tickets to Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. KPCW News Time now, 852. 852 now, good morning. Well, HBO's miniseries Mosaic, which is filming at the Park City Film Studios, is in need of extras for tomorrow. On the phone with details, I have Gail Minkovich. She's with G&G Casting. She joins me now on the phone. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So maybe just a little bit of background on the production, Mosaic. Well, I don't even know what it's about.
Well, it's a thriller. I don't know that much about it because it's secretive. We weren't allowed to read the script. So.
Oh, okay.
And it's directed by Steven Soderbergh, who's, you know, an Academy Award-winning director. And we are filming in Park City. The whole thing is taking place in Park City.
Okay, my understanding is also stars Sharon Stone. So you're looking for extras. Tell us about that.
Well, we need people that look between the ages of 30 and 70 years old to be in a scene. We need people tomorrow and Thursday. And this all takes place in Park City. So we would love to get some Park City people involved. We did a casting up there, but, you know, I think we did it on a bad weekend or something. We didn't have that many Park City people come. But we would love people to, we work a 12-hour day. You just have to be available. You have to just say you're available for 12 hours. The days have been a little shorter on this. They're wonderful people to work with, and it's a wonderful crew. So we would like to get people to come and work with us. And I can give you the website, and I can give you my phone number. People can call me.
Okay. So what's the website?
The website is gandgcasting.com.
Okay. And would you prefer them to do it that way than calling you?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
If they have any questions, you know, and right when you go to the website, we update it every day. So it'll say we need extras, you know, like on, we would, on like, sorry, I'm looking at the dates. Tomorrow the 9th, Thursday the 10th, we need extras on the 14th, you know. So we, you know, it tells you to send your picture. There's no charge for anything. We don't charge anybody for anything.
Okay, and you need men and women?
We need men and women, yes.
All right, and so it all happens at the film studios?
No, it's not. We're not filming at the film studios. That was another show. We're filming right downtown. We're filming in Park City. We've been filming at the Canyons. We've been filming all over Park City. But oh. We're not at the film studio.
Okay.
We will send them once they submit, and they're available, we will send them the information and what time they need to be there and what they need to bring and what kind of clothing. You know, we send everything out once they have submitted. So the big thing is for people to submit with their picture and put all the right information in that submission form.
All right. And you're just basically asking people to be themselves, right?
Yes. We just need people to come. We just look at them, you know, and then we submit them to them and they get picked. And usually everybody probably will be picked to submit.
All right. And they get paid, right?
Oh, yeah, they get paid. Yes, it's the extras make $101.50, and if they get picture picked by the director, they'll make $150 for the day. And we feed you. We give you breakfast and lunch. It's a catered breakfast and lunch. And we give you snacks. And this is a great crew to work with. I worked with them the first half of the show, which was 3 months ago. Now this is the second half of the show, and these people are wonderful. They're just very nice. There's no yelling on set. You know what I mean? It's just a nice, it's got a very nice vibe to it.
All right. Do the extras get credits or not?
No, they don't get credits.
Okay.
I barely ever get credits, and I've been doing this for 20 years.
Okay. All right. If people are interested, again, for tomorrow and Thursday, gngcasting.com, be prepared to fill out a short application, it sounds like, and submit a photo.
Yes, that would be awesome. And thank you so much.
Okay. Good luck. Thanks for your time.
Okay. And tell everybody to come and play, because they should do this at least once.
Yeah,
what it's like to make them. Well, of this caliber, you know what I mean? A movie of this caliber.
Okay. Gail, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
KPCW News Time now, 8:57.
Morning Edition and Morning News with Leslie Thatcher is brought to you in part by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Deer Valley Resort, Promontory Foundation, and Carl Malone Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.